Hello, everybody. That's right. Oh, welcome to the salad. Thanks for listening today. I really have a lot of things that I would like to say. It's a fun, informative radio show featuring lots of things you really want to know. So it's, yeah, it's time to get on with the show. Woo-hoo! Yeah, it's time to get on with the show. Yeah, it's time to get on with the show. So let's go. Yeah, it's salad time. Hello and welcome to the salad, everybody. Now, here is our conundrum for today. A little test for you. A little test example. Are you ready? He eventually stood blank to the bullies. Oh, maybe it's quite... Well, I think it would make sense, doesn't it, you know? But I would say it's fairly high level.
High level!
So, that's our example for today, our conundrum. He eventually stood blank to the bullies. Well, what do you think? So we shall reveal the answer at the end of the program. And if you don't understand it, well, you know, we'll also explain it too. Okay? Now, what else do we have for you on the program today, salad listeners? Well, we also have, of course, salad news bits. News from around the world. Now, where are we going? Well, relatively close to home. But what else is on the program? Well, as a few of us, and if you've just listened to the Drive Time show with Kyle Miller, you'll know, obviously he lost his voice. So, you know, he's not feeling very well. He's coming down with the flu. That's right, or a cold. He's lost his voice. But a few of us have. Also, I noticed the last few days I've been getting kind of tired in the afternoon. It's been getting gradually worse. So maybe I'm coming down with something. A cold, maybe. So I have to try and make it to the end of the week to recover over the weekend. And I was just speaking to Mr. Tino there. He said the same thing. So I thought, well, what we need to do is to avoid getting... to avoid getting a cold or a flu. That's where, or the flu, we say. Gripe, the flu. So I thought, well, how can we avoid getting colds and flu? And I thought, well, why don't we call an expert? So we're going to call one of our experts. Yes, Dr. Mackenzie in Edinburgh. In fact, you could say we have a bit of an Edinburgh theme on the program today. You could say that. So we're going to call Mr. Mackenzie in Edinburgh, and he's going to give us some advice and tips on avoiding colds and flu, salad listeners. Okay, because, you know, if you've got to work, you've got to work. I mean, sometimes you could phone in sick, say to your boss, oh, you know, I can't come in today. But, you know, sometimes that's not an option. So the best thing is to avoid getting the flu in the first place. So we shall call our friend, Dr. Mackenzie in Edinburgh, who's going to give us some tips and advice on how to avoid getting the cold, or a cold, and the flu on Phone the World. That's right. But right now, it's time for Salad News Bits. Hello and welcome to Salad News Bits, news from around the world. Here's our headline for today. A gene study unravels the redhead mystery. So to unravel is to solve, if you like. It solves. Soluciona. That's right, or finds a solution. It solves the mystery of the redhead. So if you have red hair or ginger hair, sometimes we say pelirrojo. Pelirroja, redhead. English you can also say. So a gene study, in a estudio de genes, a gene study unravels the redhead mystery. So why do some people have, you know, red hair, other people don't? Well, I mean, different hair colors, you know. Obviously, it's genetic, but the mystery has been solved. We're going over live, yes, right now, to Edinburgh University. Well, to Edinburgh, and I believe, let me see. Yes, Simon Hallow is somewhere near Edinburgh University. Simon, can you hear me?
Yes, that's right, Dave. 8 genes linked to red hair have been discovered by scientists, helping to shed light on how redheads inherit their distinctive locks.
Okay, did you get that, salad listeners? So 8 genes, 8 genes, 8 genes linked to red hair, vinculados con, linked to red hair, have been discovered. Now, helping to shed some light, helping to give us more information to shed light on, you know, how redheads inherit their distinctive locks. So your locks, that's your hair, a lock of hair, we say. So, please tell us more.
Right, well, the Edinburgh University-led research has been described as the largest genetic study of hair color to date.
Ah, so the largest genetic study of hair color to date, hasta la fecha. We can just say to date in English.
Yes, that's right. It had been thought that red hair was controlled by a single gene known as MC1R, with versions passed on from both parents.
I see. So previously, it was thought that red hair was controlled by a single gene, MC1R, with versions passed on from both parents. That's interesting. So both parents pass you on your genes to have red hair. That's what they thought. But things have changed.
Well, yes. However, not everyone carrying two red-haired versions is a redhead, meaning that other genes had to be involved.
So wait one moment. So not everyone carrying two red-haired versions is a redhead. Right. So other genes had to be involved. I see.
The team examined DNA from almost 350,000 people who had taken part in the UK Biobank study.
That's a lot of people, so DNA, ADN, DNA from 350,000 people.
Yes, now when they compared redheads with people with brown or black hair, scientists identified 8 previously unknown genetic differences that are associated with red hair, or ginger locks, we can say. The team also looked at the functions of the genes they identified and found some of them work by controlling when MC1R is switched on or off. So very interesting. Now, the researchers also uncovered differences in almost 200 genes associated with blondes and brunettes.
So the major breakthrough, gran avance, we could say, the major breakthrough was to do with red hair. Okay. But they also uncovered differences in almost 200 genes associated with blondes and brunettes. If you have brown hair, you're a brunette.
Yes, that's right. So one of the professors of the university told me, "We are very pleased that this work has unraveled most of the genetic variation contributing to differences in hair color among people." So another different professor also told me that we were able to use the power of the UK Biobank, a huge and unique genetic study of 500,000 people in Britain, which allowed us to find these effects. So yes, a very interesting study indeed. So a gene study unravels the redhead mystery.
Very interesting, salad listeners. So that's it, the MC1R. This is the redhead gene. But it's not as simple as that. Not as simple as that at all. So basically, they found some were working by controlling when the MC1R, this redhead gene, is switched on or off. Because some people might have both genes coming from their parents and not have red hair. So when is the gene switched on and off? This has been a big difference. As well as finding other differences, you know, with other genes relating to hair color. It's interesting, don't you think, salad listeners? So the redhead mystery has been solved. You heard it here on Salad News Bits. Phone the world. We're phoning Dr. McKenzie.
Hello, Dr. McKenzie here.
Ah, yes, Dr. McKenzie, it's Dave, calling from The Salad, the radio program on Vaughan Radio.
Oh, hello, Dave, that's right. I haven't spoken to you for a long time.
It's true, it has been a fairly long time. We may have spoken this year. Now, you know, regular Salad listeners may remember you. We call Dr. McKenzie from time to time if we need some medical advice. Okay, some tips, etc. Now, I hope all is well with you.
Yes, everything is fine with me, because I never really get sick, so I'm pretty lucky in that respect.
All right, yeah, that's not my case. In fact, here at the radio, you know, a few of us, myself and some colleagues, you know, we've been coming down with a cold, possibly even the flu, and one of my colleagues has practically lost his voice completely. So we were hoping today, you know, to get some tips and advice on how to avoid getting a cold and or the flu.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you called me because I'm the right person to speak to. Because I'm pretty obsessive, I would say, about certain things here, especially germs.
Germs, germines. So we say germs, bacteria, etc. So obviously, I suppose that's how you get a cold. So you say you're quite obsessive about germs.
Yes. Well, I won't go into that now, but that will come up in some of the tips and advice that I'm going to give you.
Okay, salad listeners. So we have some tips and advice from Dr. McKenzie, you know, a world-renowned doctor based in Edinburgh. Tips and advice on how to avoid getting the cold and the flu. Because, for example, in my case, I can't really get sick. You know, I go to a company, I teach class 8 hours a day. I come here, do the radio to pick up my kids from school, etc. You know, it's, you know, pretty busy lifestyle we all lead. So I, you know, I can't afford, no puedo permitirme el lujo. I can't afford to get sick. So, you know, I need these tips and advice, as I know many of you do too, salad listeners. So what are your tips and advice for us?
Right, well, people who are exposed to cold and flu germs every day, doctors, flight attendants, teachers, know a thing or two about how to stay healthy when everyone around them is sick. Now, their suggestions, you know, that you know, can help, and they've helped me, and, you know, I've written these down. I speak to people, and I speak to, you know, all kinds of people, and they help me, and I help them too.
I see. Yes, if you're exposed to cold and flu, yeah, doctors, flight attendants. Okay, if you work on an aeroplane, you're a flight attendant. Teachers. Yeah, we all know a little bit about how to stay healthy because we have to. But, you know, I need more tips and advice.
Right. Well, basically, of course, I'm a doctor, but a lot of this stuff I've worked out by myself and speaking to people. So let's have a look. First of all, you have the option to get a flu shot. It's the number one thing you can do to prevent the flu.
Ah, you can get a flu shot. That's right. A vaccine. La vacuna. Yeah, so you can get a flu shot or a jab, which is the number one thing you can do to avoid getting the flu or to prevent the flu. That's true. Yeah, I never do that. So, you know, I'm not really, it's probably a good idea, you know, but it doesn't seem to fit with me, you know, going into the hospital to do that. So what else do you have?
Right, well, other things. I would say, and it sounds very basic, but wash your hands and do it a lot. So no matter what line of work you're in, if you come in contact with people who are contagious, you have to wash your hands over and over.
Now, is that clear, salad listeners? So, it doesn't matter what line of work you're in, you know, how you make a living, cómo te ganas la vida. Really, what you need to do is wash your hands a lot, because we all come into contact with germs, bacteria. So, wash our hands a lot. But when you say a lot, you know, I mean, how much are we talking about here? Because, you know, I suppose I wash my hands, well, I don't, I'm not going to say how many times a day, but it feels like quite a lot.
Well, I would say wash your hands as much as you can stand, and then some more, especially, after, you know, visiting someone or being with someone who's sick.
Okay, so wash your hands as much as you can stand. So to stand is aguantar, tanto como puedas aguantar. Wash your hands as much as you can stand. This is already sounding a bit excessive to me. What do you think, salad listeners? Although we're talking to an expert here. You know, we're talking to a doctor.
Yes, that's right. Well, it sounds so simple, but soap and water are the constant companions of doctors and nurses.
So if you're a doctor or a nurse, enfermera, of course, soap and water, they're the constant companions. They're real friends. Soap, jabón, and water. So wash your hands a lot.
Now, to completely get rid of viruses from your skin, you need to scrub your hands hard for 20 seconds or more.
Now, did you hear that, salad listeners? So to get rid of deshacerse de, to get rid of bacteria and viruses on your skin, you need to scrub, it's frotar. Scrub your hands for 20 seconds or more. I suppose you could count 20 seconds, maybe?
I recommend a good way to time yourself is to sing Happy Birthday twice while scrubbing the back of your hands, between your fingers and under your nails.
Do you hear that, salad listeners? So a good way, so while you're washing your hands, okay, sing Happy Birthday twice. You know, I mean, you could sing it to yourself, I guess. Happy birthday to me, if you want. Or happy birthday to you, there's no one there. Sing that twice, and that's probably enough, the time needed to get rid of all the, you know, the viruses, bacteria, etc. on your hands. And that's good advice. I can't see myself doing it, but it works.
Well, you called me for advice, Dave, so you should do that. Now, it doesn't matter if the water's hot or cold. The very act of scrubbing will physically remove the germs.
So it's not really about hot or cold water, but the act of scrubbing, frotando las manos, scrubbing your hands, will remove the germs.
That's right. Now, you can use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. If you can't get soap and water, sanitizer can kill cold and flu germs. And quite often in offices and stuff, people have this in the bathrooms. Hand and cold sanitizers. Now, that's another way you can do it, because you can't always get close to soap and water. But you know, you can have one on your desk sometimes and do that. What else can I tell you? Avoid getting close to people who are sick. For example, don't shake hands.
So if someone's sick, don't shake hands, you know. Or your colleagues here now, you know, I mentioned the three of us here, not feeling too well. Although Kyle's just been here and, you know, I'm sharing his microphone. So who knows, maybe I'll lose my voice. So, you know, try not to get close to people who are sick. That sounds like, basic advice. However, you could not shake hands, for example, or not give them two kisses, you know, if you know they're sick. That would make sense.
Yes, that's right, because in Spain you do give people two kisses. So if you know they're sick, it's probably best not to do that. So doctors tend to be very cautious about handshaking. That's right. So just to explain, you know, to keep transmission of colds and flu down, I'm not shaking hands, but hello, nice to see you. Good morning. People will understand. So that will not be a problem.
All right, so wash your hands a lot. Of course, you can get a flu shot. Try and, you know, avoid, you know, getting close to people who are sick. And if you do, then don't shake hands or kiss them or anything like that. Okay, so we're doing well so far. Sing happy birthday twice while washing your hands with soap and water. You know, this sounds good.
What else can I say? Right, yes, keep your surroundings clean. You know, so make sure everything is clean. So sanitize, you know, your house, for example. So some people can be hyper-vigilant. And I was speaking to one of my patients who is actually hyper-vigilant. And, you know, she told me I was sick more often when I worked in an office. You know, when I came in contact with a lot of people. But that doesn't seem to happen these days. So nowadays I don't have sick days because I keep my house very clean. So keep you know, kind of like, you know, a sanitized environment.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know, I have a couple of, you know, young children running around my house. So I'm not sure how sanitized I'm going to be able to keep my house. But, you know, that makes sense. So it's all about, you know, getting rid of germs. Deshacerse. Getting rid of germs.
Yes, that's right. So I know people who start their day by cleaning their workspace with virus and germ-killing soaps or sprays. So you come into work and spray your desk and clean it. It may sound a bit over the top, a little bit exaggerated, but it's not. It's awareness. So that's what she told me, my friend. It's a matter of looking at your environment and thinking, what could be contaminated? All it takes is a wee tiny drop, you know, so a wee drop and that's it. And, you know, so that's probably quite a good way of, you know, making sure, you know, you don't get sick. And apart from that, just keep a healthy lifestyle, you know. So do all the things you should be doing on a daily basis anyway. Get lots of rest, which should never be underestimated. And, you know, get good nutrition, don't smoke, and keep your allergies controlled. Because if they're out of control, then your upper respiratory tree is already inflamed, which sets yourself up more easily to acquire a virus.
Now then, salad listeners. So, we're going to have to more or less leave it there. Did you get most of that, salad listeners? So, ways to avoid colds and flu. At the end of the day, I think it's quite straightforward. You know, kind of basic knowledge here. So, get a flu shot is one way. La vacuna. You can go to the hospital. Bloop. That's one way of doing it. Wash your hands a lot. Sing happy birthday a couple of times while you scrub. Frotar las manos. Okay, salad listeners. Now, of course, you can use like a sanitizer where you see these creams, you see, almost like a little soap. They get absorbed into your skin. Avoid getting too close to sick people. Of course, in my case, you know, I'm a teacher, so I'm in contact with people. You know, so I come here, you know, we all share microphones. So, you know, but if you do, you know, don't shake their hands. Try not to kiss them, okay? Keep your surroundings clean. One option is you could clean your desk in the morning. You know, the different ways. Get plenty of rest. Eat well, don't smoke, the doctor said. Well, thanks very much, Dr. McKenzie, for your advice.
Yeah, thanks very much. And I have to say, it basically works because I'm a little bit obsessive about this with germs and stuff. But I haven't been sick for a very long time, I have to say. So if you need any more advice, just let me know. In the meantime, I'll see you soon. Ta-ta.
Thanks very much, Dr. McKenzie, giving us some help and some tips on how to avoid getting colds and flu. This has been Phone the World. Now then, salad listeners, yes, our conundrum for today, a little test, was he eventually stood blank to the bullies. Now, the answer is, so a bully's un matón. Now, it can be at school, you know, or it could be at work. A bully could be anywhere. So he eventually stood up to the bully. So plantar cara a alguien is to stand up to someone. Now, in this case, eventually, it's not eventualmente, it means al final. That's right, plantó cara a los matones or something like that. So he eventually stood up to the bully. So to stand up to someone. That's right, salad listeners. Okay, that's all we have time for. See you tomorrow, same time, same place on the salad.
Hi there, this is Julia in the Wiki from English O'Clock. ¿Y sabes qué? En enero repasaremos todo desde cero en English O'Clock. That's right. Así que si quieres seguir mi programa y sacarle el máximo partido, no te puedes perder mi libro English O'Clock. That's right, you can't miss it. En el que encontrarás todos los ejercicios que hacemos en el programa todos los días. Subo lo que hemos hecho del English O'Clock so you can follow it at home. English O'Clock ya está disponible en baugantienda.com y ahora con gastos de envío gratis. Haz que el 2019 pase a la historia como el año en el que de verdad pudiste con el inglés. Busca English O'Clock en baugantienda.com. That's right, baugantienda.com. That's where you can get my book, English O'Clock. Let's go and get 2019 together.
¡Date prisa que se nos acaba el regalo! El mejor regalo para estas Navidades es un intensivo de Vaughan. Ven, aprovecha estas Navidades y regálate un buen nivel de inglés. Infórmate en el 911-335-833 o en grupovaughan.com. 911-335-833. También disponible para los más peques. Bueno, no tan peques.
Hello, my name is Manipuri.
¿A tu inglés le falta brilli brilli?
Entonces no te puedes perder la preciosa Gold Edition de Inglés para Rubias, una edición especial y limitada del libro de la vecina rubia y mami.